Okay, so today is November 3rd, 2010, and we're going to do lesson number 269 called Hip Joints by the Way of Lengthening and Continuation. So take a moment to observe how you're lying on your back today. Notice how your head is resting on the floor, and we've drawn attention to that for the last couple weeks. So just sense that part that really makes contact. And then sense how your shoulder blades are resting on the floor, and then your mid-back and your lower back, traveling down to your pelvis. And really notice with your pelvis today, if you're really lying evenly or if you're slightly tipped, you know, if one side feels like it's higher or one side feels lower. It's always interesting to notice what you notice. You know, is it the side that's higher or the side that's lower? And also to notice if there's a little bit of a rotation with that. So are you really tipped just to one side, purely to the side, or is there a little bit of a rotation? That means there's also a downward feeling. So let's say whatever side is lower is also feels maybe longer and tilted more down. And maybe not, it's just something to be aware of. And then lastly, noticing how your legs lie on the floor. And based on what you paid attention to with your pelvis, how does that reflect how your legs are lying? So again, if one side of the pelvis is up, that's going to create some kind of translation into the legs. And then, as we always do, is to take a moment to notice your breath, your breathing. Not encouraging yourself to make your breath larger, but just observe your inhalation, the moment that you pause before you go into your exhalation, and then the pause. And throughout today's lesson is, I'm just going to continue to have you become more responsible, what I call self-regulating, that you weave in for yourself, drawing your attention to your breath and breathing. So just occasionally you just go, oh, so we're doing the movements, this is how my breathing is going. Or I'm holding my breath, and then you get your breath to start up again. So you're going to bring both arms to rest above your head on the floor. And make it real comfortable for yourself. So if you need to bend the elbows a little bit, whatever you need to do so it's comfortable. Ideally, the longer they are, the better. So you don't want to bend the elbows too much, but find what can work for you. And throughout the lesson, just remember your arms are always above. So whatever we're doing with our legs, you're going to come back to this position with your arms so that I don't have to repeat it every time. So in saying that, now bend your knees, bring your feet to standing, and you're going to keep the right leg standing, and then you're going to drop your left knee out to the side so it's resting on the floor. That's it. And then from that position, begin to start to lift your left leg into the air and lower it back down. So lift the whole leg, that means the sole of the foot, that's it, and then bring it back down. That's it, Dale. Good. And now the next time that you lift your leg in the air, go ahead and lengthen it. So this is the left leg. So it's lifted up to the ceiling. So your left heel, that's it, is pointed towards the ceiling. And you keep it up there. And you're going to start to make a circle with your left foot, your left leg, left heel. So the whole leg is making a circle. It's kind of going back to what we finished last week. We've been doing all these clocks. So there's a clock now that you're making with the left leg, and feel what happens with the pelvis, how you roll along the pelvis, and you utilize the right leg standing to balance yourself. That supports you rolling. And then you feel what's happening all the way up through the thoracic spine and into your arms. And now find a moment where you can change the direction of the circle without it interrupting your breathing. That's it. So when the leg goes down away from you, can you feel that the rib cage is pulled down? And then when you go up, the arms lengthen. That's it, Dale. Great. Okay, and let that go and rest. Bend your knees again. Bring your arms above you. Once again, bring your left leg up towards the ceiling. And now do a movement of pushing your right foot into the floor to roll your pelvis to the left. That's it. And then bring the right side of the pelvis back down. And now the next time that you bring the right side of the pelvis down, lengthen your left leg up towards the ceiling. So it's kind of like a teeter-totter. So to lengthen the left leg up more, right, the right side has to come down. It's almost like if you were going to roll onto the right side. Yeah. But think of down sending more towards the floor. So when I say down, it's like the right side of your butt presses into the floor. So think the left leg is going up. That's it. And try to keep now the knee standing. That's it. And then you go back to then pushing the right foot into the floor and lifting the right side of the pelvis. And then as the right side of the pelvis comes down, the left leg lifts. Yeah. That's it, Dale. There you go. And then as you come back down, this lifts. It's harder than you think. That's it. And then lift the right side. Good. And then come back. And then press the right side down by lifting this. Really lift. Stretch. There you go. Okay. Bring that left leg down. And let's change the legs. Bring your right leg up. Keep the left foot in the standing position. And now let's start to make circles with the left leg. Take your time. You can start smaller and then gradually make it larger. Feel how you roll along your pelvis, and you utilize now the left foot standing to stabilize you. And again, notice when you bring the right foot up towards your face, like up towards the ceiling, right? How your arms get longer. They reach on the floor. And then when your leg comes down and away from you, it pulls the skeleton down. Right? So we're back to this idea of how the whole self is participating, right? So when we do the pelvic tilts, remember how we worked with that last week, that your rib cage moves so much, but then when we do the tilting with your head, it gets lost. Well, now we're going to an extremity, your leg. So how does the movement of the leg still stay connected with the entire self? And now change the direction. So always have that in the back of your mind. So we've moved from the core, the center, and we're slowly moving out. That's it. Good. Now keep your right leg up towards the ceiling. Just pause it. Keep your arms up. And now let's do this movement of pushing your left foot into the floor, rolling your pelvis over to the right, and then lowering the left side of the pelvis down as you lengthen the right leg to the ceiling. Nice. That's it, Kyla.
I got it.
Yeah. Yeah. But now really keep the left foot standing. Don't let the left foot, as you come back and lengthen the right leg, yeah, don't let that foot get lost. There you go. That's it, Cindy. And then push and then lift. That's it, Cindy, but let that other side. Yeah, see, the tendency is we want to lift the whole thing instead of trying to let the left side come down. Really nice. Okay, and let's let it go and rest on your back. And so again, every time you come to resting, please lengthen your legs and bring your arms down by your side. And once again, bring your arms above you. That's it. And now as you stay lying on your back, you're going to bring the soles of your feet together and your knees will be displayed out to the side. Okay? So very much how we ended, again, last week doing and sitting, right, tilting the pelvis. This is now lying on your back. So if you want to imagine a clock on the ceiling again, begin to do the movement of going from 12 o'clock to 6 o'clock. Again, for me, I think of 6 o'clock as pushing the belly out and arching the back. And then as you pull the pubic bone in and flatten the lower back, I think of that as 12 o'clock. So I think of the top of my lumbar spine is pressing 12 o'clock. And then as I come to sit on the tailbone and arch, I'm sitting at 6 o'clock. So very gently, you guys are doing beautifully, and slowly allow yourself to go back and forth from 12 o'clock to 6 o'clock. And again, notice the movement in the rib cage and your arms. So feel when you flatten your back, how it pushes the rib cage up and the arms lengthen up. And then when you tilt the pelvis forward, you come sitting on the tailbone, it pulls the rib cage and the arms down. That's it. So the more you can let your arms just be relaxed with this. That's it. And then you can also notice there's a movement that occurs with the legs and the knees, right? So when you push the belly really far forward, you go to 6 o'clock, the knees kind of widen. And then when you pull the belly in, the knees are going to lift slightly, and that's all fine. That's it. And do you feel the movement now into your head as well? Good. And let's just take a little pause, break, rest your legs. It can be kind of a tough position for the legs, so take a moment to rest them, rest the arms. And I'd say whenever you're coming out of this position, just go real slowly with yourself, not to be jerky. And please return to the same position with your arms above you, the soles of your feet together, your knees are displayed out to the side. Again, make it real comfortable. And this time, we're going to start to go in a circle. So let's first tilt ourselves back towards 12 so that your back is flat. And then if you start to arc over to the right, you're going to 3 o'clock. And there's this moment when you roll through 3 o'clock is when the belly is going to come forward, right? And it's going to actually pull the left side of the rib cage over. Not so much the knee. A little bit with the knee, but more think the rib cage. And then you go forward towards 6, And then you come over to 9. So that means the left side of the knee is more down. And again, let the rib cage pull over. So the tendency is to let a lot happen in the hips and groin. And I'm encouraging you to feel it in the rib cage. And so as the right knee comes down, it's the left side of the ribs that pull in, and then the left arm down. Then you go to 6. And then you go over, let's say, to 9. And at 9, you feel the ribs come down on the right side. That's it. And at this point, I don't care how large you make the movement for the rib cage to be involved. So let this pull down. Yeah. So at this point, whatever it takes to get that rib cage. And then when you're over here, let this side pull. Uh-huh. There you go. Good. And then you come back. Because you, again, you see how much there's a desire to have it just in the hips and the pelvis. That's it. Keep going. And then in a moment, you're going to look for that special moment for yourself where you can change or reverse the circle. So whenever it feels right to you, you change and you start to do counterclockwise, because it's going to be a whole different experience. It's like, what? Because you're asking the ribs to move in the opposite direction and the pelvis. And this is very much like the lesson last week. If you just do it in the hip joints, you would walk out of here with your hips sore. Like if you just used your neck muscles last week, the neck is sore. Okay. Let's let that come to a close. And again, slowly lower your arms and your legs. So that's always a way for you to know, is if you start to feel effort or work going on for today in the hip joints, it means you're doing too much just in hips. So the more that you can encourage your rib cage to participate, you won't feel it just in the hips. Yay. Okay, so let's come back once again to the same position. So your arms are above you, the soles of your feet are together. There you go. And now in this position, it'll sound a little bit strange, but you're going to lift the right leg, and you're going to lift it keeping the same position that it's in. So just think of the sole of the foot and the knee coming up towards your face. And then lower it back down. That's it, Cindy. And just the left foot, Dale. I mean the right foot. Just the right foot. There you go. So you can lift it up. Beautiful. And then bring it back down. Super. That's the idea. And again, watch for the lengthening of the arms and the arms pulling down. Good. And now the next time that you lift it, you kind of keep it hovered up over you. And now you're going to shift the entire leg, the whole thing, left and right. So you don't change the way its relationship is. You just roll in your pelvis left and right. That's it, Cindy. So roll so much that the left knee can come down to touch the floor, but you always keep this relationship. That's it. And then roll all the way to as far as you can to the right, which may bring the left foot up to standing almost. So you roll along your pelvis. That's it, Dale. But you keep that right knee out to the side and the sole of your right foot up towards your belly. And then you roll. That's it. And it's really cool. When you come over to the right, all of a sudden that left foot comes up to standing. What do you know? That's it, Cindy. Okay, so now as that's going on, keep going, feel the ribs. So when you take the right leg over to the left, it pulls the right side of the rib cage. And then when you bring the right leg over to the right, it pulls the left side of the rib cage. Good. Excellent. Okay, come back. Slowly let it go and rest on your back. And please bring your arms above you again, soles of your feet together. And once again, lifting that right leg in the same fashion. So you lift the whole leg up, just keeping that relationship. And now bring your attention to the right knee. So your right knee is the focal point to start to make a circle. So again, you keep the entire shape the way it is, but you're going to make a circle thinking of, that's it, the right knee. So again, let the movement happen with the pelvis. It's not that much different than what we just did, but you're really thinking of the knee. And it's just so interesting when you change where you put your attention, you think the movement's different. That's it. So in fact, try to, Kylie, even make it bigger. Make it more like the previous movement so that you go all the way out to the right side. Yeah. So do the last movement where you thought of the whole, you know, exactly what you did last time. There you go. Keep doing that. And then make it a little bit more into a circle. There you go. And then now once you've got it going, you put the attention that it's the knee. And so then this is when you start to realize how our limbs, right? There's this breakdown that starts to happen the further you get away from the trunk. How we start to we separate ourselves and we lose the whole movement. There you go. That's it. So by having your focus on the knee, it brings more attention to the lower leg instead of inside the hip joint. But it shouldn't change the movement at all. That's it. Now roll all the way over to the other side. Good. Now find that magical time for you where you can change the direction of the circle. So you start to go counterclockwise. Beautiful, Dale. That's it, Cindy. And you're still breathing. And that's okay. Yeah, when you it's great when you get, that's such a revelation. Believe me, I had that so much happen in my training where all of a sudden I had to just stop and go, what am I doing? I would get lost in it.
That's me.
It's like the rubbing the stomach and tapping the head thing. That's it. And it's amazing that just changing the direction of the circle, you get lost. That's huge information.
And your brain doesn't, but your body does.
There you go. Nice, Cindy. Come all the way over to the side. Okay. Let's let that go and rest. And once again, let's bring the soles of your feet together. Your arms are above you. And we're going to now bring our attention over to your left leg. So start by just lifting and lowering the left leg, right? So you keep that same position. You get familiar, lifting and lowering. So when you lower it, the soles of the feet come back together, right? The left knee stays out to the side the whole time. There you go. So when you lower down, you feel the tilt of the pelvis, right? The pelvis flattens when you lift, and then when you lower, it pulls the pelvis forward. That's it. And hopefully something's happening with those arms. That's good. Great. And then the next time that you bring the left knee and the configuration up to your chest, keep it there, right? And then you don't change anything about the position of the left leg. You just take everything over to the right and then everything over to the left. So when you go to the right, your whole outer right leg rests on the floor. And then we come back to the center, it comes up, and then you take your left leg to rest on the floor, which means the right side of the pelvis has to come up. And the right leg stands. Don't let that right knee flop in. It comes to standing. Remember that earlier movement we did where the foot was up towards the ceiling? That's it. So it's okay for the right knee to flop out to the side when you go to the right, but when you go to the left, you keep it in a standing position. That's it. And now feel what's happening in the rib cage. So again, when you go to the right, the left side of the rib cage and arm should pull down. And then when you go over to the left, it's the right side of the rib cage and the right arm that gets pulled. And it's pulling down. Good. Okay. Let's pause and take a little rest. Okay, so let's come back to the same position, arms above you, soles of your feet together. Lift that left leg up, right? And you hold it up in the air, right? The knee out. So it's the same movement. So if you want to start again with the same movement we just did, but then you're going to shift your attention to your left knee. And that your left knee is making a circle. So it becomes a little bit more of a circular movement. And another way to feel it is that you're rolling along your pelvis. You're making a circle with your pelvis. But keep that knee out to the side the whole time. So your left knee always stays out. The left sole of the foot's always in, right? I know it's hard because you want to bring that left, yeah, as much as possible. Keep this going. So maybe even think of the left sole of the foot turned towards your face. Yeah? To keep that's better, Dale. It's hard to keep that knee flared out. There's a tendency it wants to come back to an upright position. There you go. And then feel again what's happening with your rib cage, your trunk, your arms. One arm's pulled down and then the other arm's pulled down. And then how are you breathing? And then you're going to look for that, again, magical moment for you, that special timing for you, where you can reverse the direction of the circle and it doesn't interfere with the movement or your breath. And it's always okay to pause, kind of gather yourself again and then start up again. Sometimes changing the direction is really creates chaos, confusion. Good. And let's let that go and rest. And once again, bring yourself back to the same position. Soles of your feet together, arms lengthened comfortably above your head. And let's first of all just go back to the movement of tilting your pelvis towards 12 o'clock and 6 o'clock. Let's just revisit that and look for two things. First of all, look for the change in quality now. Feel how much smoother it is. And in that smoothness, notice the ease in which now the whole rib cage and the arms and the head are moving. It's a huge difference. It's like, what happened? Yeah? So we're doing the same movement, but a huge range and smoothness and quality change. Really nice. And now start to go into making a circle. And I'm going to let you pick your direction so you can go clockwise or counterclockwise, whichever way that you just feel like starting the circle. But make sure that when you're doing the circle that you also keep in mind the clock that's on the ceiling, and that you're really going along each number, each hour. You're not cheating yourself out of 4 o'clock, or 2 o'clock, those are the ones, the diagonals are where we cheat. they're hard little boogers to get to. So we cheat, it's like this, the circle becomes caved in at that point. So you really have to, that's why the clock is so useful, so that you can really draw your attention to each number, each hour, and fully get yourself there. And again, feeling how the rib cage is being pulled down and the arm. So you're letting your head, everything follow. And then as we've done before, you look for that moment for yourself where you can reverse the circle and there's very little interference, if not any, with your breathing, with the quality in which you're moving. And sometimes it's interesting to notice, is this direction easier or harder? And not necessarily do we always pick the easier direction to go in either. So that's something else to ask yourself. And as Dale's doing so nice, is that when you have a sticky place, you know, instead of rushing through it, it's kind of like driving on a road, you know, that's got a pothole. So, right, if you drive through the pothole really fast, like it's really yucky, right, for the whole car and you, there's a real big clunkety vibration from it. Or if you slow down and you go slow through the pothole, there's a much greater ease. So that you don't feel so much disruptiveness. Great. Okay. Rest. And so at this point, just really check in and notice how you're resting on the floor now, your legs, your pelvis, especially your legs, your hip joints, and we're going to do kind of a, I don't even want to use the word counter, but move in a little bit different direction that will help with the hip joints. Right, we've done a lot of external rotation. Does that make sense? So now we're going to bring some internal rotation in with the same idea of the arms and the chest. So in saying that, bend your knees, bring your feet to standing, and your arms are above you, right? There you go. Comfortably. And now spread your feet a little wider so that your knees are almost like knock-kneed, right? There you go. Even a little wider. There you go. Because in this position, you're going to start just with the right knee. So you want to start to drop the right knee down and think of it away from your chest, as if the right knee would come down towards the left foot. But you still keep the left foot standing. So this is why it's okay to spread the feet wider. Yeah? Go as wide as you need. Because you want to keep that left leg standing, and you're just taking the right knee down and bringing it back up. Beautiful. And feel what that does with the pelvis, right? It pulls on the pelvis, pulls on the right side of the rib cage, should pull down, and the right arm. You confused, Cindy? You've got a confused look. You're doing it right.
Okay, good.
Yeah. So, but think of when I use the word down too, it's not necessarily down towards the floor. Think of your right knee coming towards me, which would be down towards if you were standing where the foot would be. There's all these spatial directions. So you want a downward motion like this, pulling away from you as well as going to the floor. Is that okay? Was that too much, Cindy? Because that's when you feel the rib cage. So less rolling, Kylie, and more, again, thinking this way. Okay. Now come and think of this knee, that it's going to come down towards me. You're going to put that, push it down towards me. Cool. That's better. That's it. And what you can start to do with your right foot is actually let your right foot start to come up towards your right buttocks. So kind of as the knee comes down, start to let the right foot come up. Yeah. And turn the toes under. Let this foot, there you go. There. So let the, that's it, Dale. There you go. So you almost slide the foot. Dale's got that idea. You slide the foot up towards your buttocks and curl the toes in the direction of your armpit. Yeah, there you go. Keep going.
That hurts my knee.
There you go. So do the leg first. There you go. And then take this out. And then try it again. See if you can just... There you go. There. That's the idea. It's a beginning. It needs to go to this place, though. This is when I'm going to get your knee really good, Cindy. Trust me. We'll get it all better. So you've got the whole side, and then you eventually want these toes. Yeah, coming up like that. Take your time. No, it might happen today. There you go. Because eventually the right foot should sit under your right buttocks. Mm-hmm. Not to scare you, but we're going to do a whole series coming up. Through winter season, ski season. It's called bringing the heels under the buttocks, which will just lengthen your quads. And yeah, there you go. Now try that though with, you know, I still want you to try to keep your arm up. There you go. Yeah, it's hard to do that just a few more times. There you go. That's it, Dale. Now just bring the toes more up towards your armpit. I know, it's turning that foot over, and really it's more about your foot in the long scope of things. But I'll give you something to do upright. She looks at me, I don't want something to do. She's like, oh, she's got.
It felt so good.
She's like, you've got an alternative? That's not good. Okay, let it go, rest your legs. No, there's a way we can just start with the foot, Cindy, and not put any pressure with the knee. You'll like. Mm-hmm. Believe me, it, because when my knee was so off, it was killing me to do this, but I just kept doing it. It's come a long ways. Okay, let's bend your knees again. Spread them wide apart, arms above you. Let's go to the left knee. Right, so we're going to start off first, you're just going to tilt the left knee down towards your right foot and then think away from you. Right, so if you were going to push your leg away from you so that the belly pulls down, you get a bigger arch in your back than so much rotation. And feel the rib cage on the left side, and that left arm is pulled down. There you go. And now in your own way, start to slide that left foot up towards the left buttocks. And so, Cindy, if you can do it on this foot, right, this leg, it's another way to teach yourself, you know? But it's really learning to roll over the top of the foot. So that a girl. So the top of the foot is then starts to come onto the floor, and your heel lifts up, and your toes come up towards the butt. Believe it or not, you do this in standing. Like if you do these standing things like this, it's no different than this. It's the same thing I'm asking you to do. But how come we can do it in standing? And it seems so impossible lying on your back. It's a trick question. That's it, Dale. Now curl those toes back and roll onto the top of your foot. Right? Roll onto the top of the foot. There you go. There you guys go. That's the idea. And when if you look at a skeleton, I need to go back to bringing my skeleton to workshops. But so to have the greatest range in the ankle, you've got to be able to open the ankle this way to be able to step correctly the other way. And this is going to become really important for ski season. Because if you're messed up in your feet, you're going to be messed up skiing. That's it. Okay, come back up to the legs standing. Keep them wide apart. And now can you alternate? So let's just alternate with the knees. Forget the feet. Just forget the feet. Right? So just feel that as the right knee comes down, right, the right side lifts. And then as you're bringing the right knee up, the left starts to tilt down. So you look for how you can go from one side to other. And again, this is like a really kind of critical movement around skiing. Yeah. This is what we do in skiing. And what's so critical is what you're doing in the rib cage, the trunk. The reason people have problems in their knees when they ski is because nothing's happening in the rib cage. So they put all the weight into the knees. See, I'm doing all these prep lessons for ski season. So this is about getting your rib cage, your trunk, to going. To free up anything in the knees. Good. Okay, let it go and let's rest. And Cindy, that's another way you could do it. I don't know if it's too much on your for your SI joints, but bend your knees. So everybody try this. Bend your knees and then tilt both of the legs, let's say to the right. There you go. And just leave them there. Now reach down with your left arm to get a hold of your left foot. Find it. Pull those toes under, right? And that might be easier. Is that an easier position to work with? A little bit? Okay, and so then eventually what you want to do is you want, but don't be on this foot, Dale. Let's see. Yeah, so you're kind of like sitting sides. Yeah. There you go. So then, there. And so your heel should be with your butt. And then eventually you work on, can this go out and the toes in? There you go. And then you sit on your heel. Uh-huh.
The trick is to In the middle of the air.
Okay. And then that's it, Cindy.
I can do this, but whatever that angle was, it was just...
Okay. So then you just keep on working the foot towards the butt. And the drive is this way. That's it. That's where you get the drive is this way. Yeah, so now that you're there, this is going to be your hard thing for your back, is let this drop. I know. It's okay. See, and the great thing about this position is you can work with yourself, right? There, you give yourself enough way that you toy with it. You never want to put yourself in a situation where there's all this pressure just on the knee and you can't move the rest of yourself around it. That's it, Dale. But now get the heel. The only difference is I want this heel to flare out and those toes more in, because feel what that does in the knee. I know, when the heel comes out, this has to come more this way, so this heel comes out.
Nice job.
That's it. It's a huge thing.
Wow, that's really good.
But it will give you, you're going to see when you stand up, your knees will feel amazing.
Wow.
Like they've never felt before, which means that you won't feel them.
I know, mine have it too.
Okay, rest on your back. Got one last movement. You guys are doing great today. All those that didn't show up missed out.
This is we should do this one again.
I know, it's a really powerful lesson. It's just a beautiful lesson. Like I said, it's great for skiing. But hopefully you're all seeing, Dale, you missed a lot of this, but you've come for so much that you're spinning into it. But for you, Kylie and Cindy, just how we've done the pelvic clock, you know, head clock, how we keep on, I keep weaving these clocks in. Yeah, it's making a huge difference. Okay, so let's just go back one more time to the soles of your feet together, your arms above yourself, and just whichever direction you want to go, start to make a circle, make the clock, speaking of clocks, then just feel... You know, did anything change from doing some of that internal rotation with the legs? Did something change in the quality in which you can make the circle now? Maybe just do, let's say, two or three circles one direction, and then you change, you reverse the circle the other direction, and you're feeling how mobile and free your trunk is, your ribs, your arms, your neck, shoulders. That's it, Dale. That's it, Cindy. And then when you've done just a couple circles in both directions, slowly lengthen your legs and bring your arms to your side and rest. And then as you're resting on your back, notice now how the back of your head is resting on the floor. If it's a much larger surface now, or you just think it is, the sense of it is. It's really mind-blowing, huh? And then noticing how your upper back is resting, your mid-back and your lower back, and now how the pelvis is resting. How your legs are lying on the floor. And again, this lesson, what's so great about it is really we're going into what I call the extremities, your arms and your legs, and feeling that connection, the relationship up through your trunk and pelvis again. And hopefully it makes sense to you, like as you're skiing or any activity you're doing, that connection needs to be there. Like if you were to be in the swimming pool, right? And in some ways we do this, but like let's say you put the pole buoy in between your legs, but you tell yourself you're not allowed to turn in your trunk or legs, how much work would that be in your arms? Be like impossible, right? But that's what we end up doing often when we're skiing, is we're doing everything in our legs and not feeling the connection in our trunk. Okay, so taking your time, go ahead and roll to one side and bring yourself up to sitting and then standing. And we'll have you see how you feel in standing. And especially just notice, again, how does it feel? The pelvis, the ribs over the pelvis, how you feel in your legs. Really your legs, you start to lose their heaviness and stuff. They're really light, like they almost start to disappear, especially the knees. There should be nothing in the knee. You know? And then go down and notice how you feel in the feet, the ankles. You have more weight in the heels now. Yeah. So go ahead and walk around and just feel the lightness in walking now.